produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Bill Press and Clarence Page offer media tips at Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference. This weekend, Students for Sensible Drug Policy held their international conference at the Georgetown Law Center in Washington, D.C. Over 350 students attended the conference to hear speakers from all of the major drug policy reform groups in the U.S. Normal's Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and Normal's Senior Policy Analyst Paul Armentano gave several talks and participated in breakout panels regarding marijuana law reform. On Friday, noted Ohio representative and 2004 presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich spoke to the attendees. And during SSDP's Congressional Lobby Day for Students Friday, over 80 appointments with congressional leaders took place. The keynote panel Saturday was moderated by Slate.com's Ryan Grimm, with panelists Clarence Page, columnist for the Chicago Tribune and frequent television and radio commentator, along with radio talk show host Bill Press, who also writes a syndicated newspaper column and frequently appears on television and radio as a political commentator. Slate's Ryan Grimm asked the fellow journalists to discuss why prohibition-related issues aren't reported on more aggressively, and how those involved with Students for Sensible Drug Policy's local chapters can get better coverage from the media. Grimm, Page, and Press all pointed out that persistent contacts with the media and offering exclusive stories to individual producers or reporters are the best ways to garner media attention. Stay tuned here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash this week to hear highlights from the panels and discussions. The full talks will be available for MP3 download this week through normalaudiostash.com.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson. For tens of thousands of seriously ill Americans, medical marijuana is the only thing that relieves their pain and suffering and permits them to lead a normal life. Yet medical marijuana patients continue to be arrested in 39 states and under federal law. It's time we legalize the medical use of marijuana all across this country when a physician recommends its use. It's time we stop treating patients like criminals. To learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. First up today, we'll speak with Dale Gehringer, the coordinator of California Normal. Dale will tell us about the vitally important case that happened last week where San Diego's County Board of Supervisors sued the state of California in a challenge to the 10-year-old Proposition 215, allowing medical access to marijuana in the state. Thursday, Superior Court Judge William R. Nevitt Jr. issued a tentative ruling rejecting the county's suit. In this tentative ruling, Nevitt agreed with attorneys for the state, who argued that California is entitled to pass its own drug laws and legislate programs that allow marijuana for medical purposes. Also today, we'll hear from Keith Strupp and his legal angle on the San Diego case. Garinger is a pioneering activist and researcher who is the coordinator of California Normal. He joins us today by phone to discuss the recent tentative court ruling in San Diego and also a bit of national politics. Dale, thanks very much again for joining us here on the Audio Stash today.
Yes, happy to hear you well. Okay.
Always a great privilege and pleasure to speak with you, Dale. Last week, the San Diego County Board of Supervisors were issued a defeat in a tentative ruling for their case challenging the 10-year-old Proposition 215, allowing medical access to marijuana by qualified patients. Now, tell us why all sides viewed this case as so vitally important.
Well, this is the most fundamental possible challenge to California's medical marijuana law. Basically, they're trying to say that, you know, it's invalid because federal law overrules it. This case really came like 10 years too late. It should have been initiated when the initiative first passed. The fact that it wasn't was because our attorney general at the time, Dan Lundgren, who was a vehement opponent of medical marijuana and our proposition, nevertheless was a good enough lawyer to recognize that it was a hopeless case to argue that states cannot, if they choose, refuse to enforce marijuana laws in the case of medical marijuana patients. There's been a long series of precedents saying that states cannot be compelled to enforce federal laws. As I say, the Attorney General knew it, but the right-wing supervisors in San Diego County did not, and so they sort of staged this desperate last-hour appeal. Just 6 months ago, they launched this law case. But we're glad they did, because I think this will finally put to rest the myth that somehow California's law is null and void because federal law is different.
And yet this time around, it was the California Attorney General who was in court arguing on behalf of the medical marijuana patients.
Well, yeah, the supervisors were challenging state law. The state attorney general stands behind state law. So you're right, we had the attorney general and all medical marijuana and ACLU also on our side on this. There were three counties who were trying to challenge the law. It was San Diego, San Bernardino, and Merced counties. Merced County sounded like they were pretty much convinced that the judge's tentative ruling would be final, and sounded like they were about ready to bow out of the case yesterday, but the San Diego County Attorney doggedly argued on against the judge's ruling.
Dale, this case came about originally over San Diego County issuing the required state medical marijuana patient ID cards. Will those patients be able to get their cards now?
Well, it will only happen after the lawsuit has been settled. What has to happen is, first of all, the judge has to issue a final ruling. He issued a tentative ruling before yesterday's hearing. Then they argued about that in court yesterday. I don't think anything was said that would change the judge's ruling, but he has up to 90 days to issue the final ruling. And at that point, assuming it goes our way, as we expect, the county will have the option to appeal if it wishes, and that could drag things on some while farther. It's not clear whether the county will do that. They do have a financial crunch there, and it might not be politic for the supervisors to drag this out. But we'll see what happens then.
Dale, let's talk a bit of national politics. You're joining us today from San Francisco, and your local representative, Nancy Pelosi, is set to become the first female Speaker of the House in January. What are your thoughts on that and how it may impact marijuana reform?
She has supported the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment, which basically tries to prevent the federal government from using the DEA to override state medical marijuana laws. She supported it and used her powers as minority leader to get other Democrats to follow suit with her on that. She actually has about the best voting record that you can have in Congress on drug reform issues in general. This includes harm reduction things, needle exchange, opposing the drug war in Colombia. She had a perfect 100% voting record from the Drug Policy Alliance last session, which is only a handful of members of Congress did. So she's been very solid on these issues. So I think the difference between her leadership and that of the preceding Republicans under Dennis Hastert is like the difference between day and night. This is a fantastic opportunity. We will finally, I think, be able to have some intelligent hearings in Congress on bills that couldn't even be discussed in committee under the Republicans. As you know, the new judiciary chairman will be John Conyers, who has been a co-sponsor and supporter of practically every drug reform bill out there. And that means that we're going to start hearing some serious discussion, at least in the House of Representatives, on these bills. However, I should caution, Nancy Pelosi, in fact, said to me that more support is needed still to actually get medical marijuana or other legislation passed in the House of Representatives. While, she's got the California Democrats, I think, pretty much in line, there's still problems in the eastern United States, even amongst supposedly progressive congresspeople. Not all of them are on board drug reform issues. So it's important, it's vital for people in the rest of the country to work on their congresspeople to drum up some more support for this. But finally, we do have an opportunity to have our case heard, at least in the House of Representatives. The Senate is another matter.
And if future House Speaker Pelosi's views on medical marijuana especially been impacted by actually getting to speak with her patient constituents in person?
It's partly that, and it's partly because a lot of her supporters out there have strong views on it, and some of her financial supporters as well, her biggest financial supporters, in fact, some of them have very strong views about this issue and have made that known to her.
Let's also touch on another important development locally in San Francisco, and that was the supervisors passing a marijuana deprioritization ordinance by a vote of 8-3 last week. I was surprised to hear that the San Francisco Police Department said this was already in line with their policy. So these pot deprioritization ordinances are really something that will help police.
It certainly prevents them from getting into a lot of trouble with the community out here. There's not a whole lot of sentiment for them to be busting people for pot. And, if they did that, I think they would have seen a lot of trouble out here. There's been quite a deal of tolerance on this for many years, actually, going back to 1978 when there was a city initiative, Proposition W, calling on the police and district attorney to stop arresting and prosecuting people for marijuana. The Board of Supervisors came on board for that. But the other important thing, the very significant thing in this latest ordinance that got passed was it also calls on the state and federal governments to move to a system of legal, taxed and regulated adult-use cannabis. So the city is also endorsing the principle of legalization. which is, makes, I think, the biggest city in the country to do so.
So essentially, the city writes a letter to the state government to change the laws regarding marijuana, and this can have a big impact for the issue.
Well, we have a lot of momentum at the moment because we also had three local initiatives on the ballot last week, which also won overwhelmingly in Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara, and Santa Monica, citywide initiatives for to make marijuana lowest enforcement priority, and they all won with 65% of the vote, basically. So we've got those victories plus the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and we're hopeful that that will start attracting some attention from legislators in the state legislature and perhaps even from Congress.
That was Dale Gehringer, the coordinator of California Normal. Their website contains a wealth of information for patients and activists. You can visit canorml.org. And we have links on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Next up today, we'll speak with Keith Strupp, Normal's founder and legal counsel, about the San Diego court case. Also, we'll speak with Keith about his recent trip out to Hawaii. Keith Strupp is the founder of Normal and continues as legal counsel to the foundation. He joins us today to discuss his recent visit to Hawaii and also weigh in on the San Diego court case. Keith, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Nice to be here, Chris.
It's always a privilege to have you here, Keith. You were out in our own piece of American paradise, the gorgeous state of Hawaii, last week, visiting with Willie Nelson. And folks can check out pictures of Willie and Keith posted up at normalaudiostash.com. Keith, tell us a little bit about your visit.
Well, it was certainly an interesting trip. I've only been to Hawaii, I think, one other time. I was out about 15, 20 years ago when I was running the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and we held a meeting out there. So it's fairly exotic to go to Hawaii if you've not done it before, and I was going to the island of Maui. So that was certainly interesting. I was there for two or three reasons. Willie Nelson, when he's off the road, if he's only off for a few days, he goes down around Austin, Texas, where he has a home. But if he's off for a few days, he then heads out to Maui, where he has a home near a town called Paia, and they pronounce it Paia. It's a kind of a, I guess you could call it an old hippie community. It's only got a couple thousand people in two main streets. Very lovely place with great little shops, and there's a hemp store where both Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson buy a lot of their hemp clothing, and it's really a very hemp-friendly community that Willie has a home there. And his wife and two teenage sons still live there, and in fact his two teenage sons play in their own band as well as back Willie up some, and they're quite talented. I had been asked by Willie if I could help pull a defense team together for an old friend of his who had recently been arrested on a marijuana charge, and he's someone who wants to raise a religious defense. And those have not been very successful around the country, as you know, but sometimes that's the best defense available. So I was partly out there because I had another attorney from Hawaii who'd handled several of these religious use cases who was flying out to meet with me and the client, which we did. I also hadn't had a chance to connect back up with Willie for some time. He's on the road a lot and not always easy to catch. So it gave me an opportunity to spend a lot of time with him discussing politics and where we go in this new year with a more friendly Congress. So in that sense, it was a delight to talk to Willie and hang out with him for a few days when he was off the road and could spend more time with his friends.
Let's talk about Hawaii in general for a moment. When I met Mark Barad from Maui Citizens for Democracy in the Normal Conference this year, he mentioned the vast differences in attitudes towards marijuana out among the islands there. Even pointed out that he meets kids in Hawaii all the time that just don't even seem to know that pot is in any way illegal. So how does Hawaii maintain this amazing cultural attitude so different from the rest of the country?
You know what? I think it's the nature of the distance that they are away from the mainland. If you notice, we sometimes get some very creative politics out of Alaska as well. I think there's a kind of a frontier spirit that still remains in those states that are well removed from the mainland, and I certainly felt that when I was in Maui. The people seem far more interested and concerned about the right to live their life the way they prefer, and a lot less interested in trying to control how their neighbor lives their life. I think they, again, I think it's left over from the earlier years, and I think also it's that they've had to learn to be very self-sufficient. They're very far removed from the mainland, so they have to grow their own, most of their own food, and they've always feared about being dependent on the mainland. So I think in some ways, when they determine what criminal laws they like and which ones they don't, they kind of feel like the marijuana laws don't feel very comfortable to the native mindset in Hawaii. And for example, there's a thriving a patient support group there where if you're, you know, they have a medical marijuana law in Hawaii, but of course, like the other states that have medical marijuana laws, it's a little unclear as to where those patients are supposed to get their medicine. So there is an ongoing patient support group. It's called Patients Without Time, based in Maui, and they have, I think, something like 800 patients who've been authorized to obtain their medicine from that agency. So it did seem friendly. It seemed like California is probably the closest thing to it, but in California we seem to be experiencing a little bit of a backlash right now in some communities towards the medical use of marijuana. I certainly did not feel that in Maui.
Well, that's a great segue, Keith, into our next topic, and that's the case regarding the San Diego County Board of Supervisors' recent legal challenge to Proposition 215. The tentative ruling was issued last week against the supervisors. Do you think San Diego County will now fall into line and follow state law?
I doubt that they're going to spend the money to appeal this decision if it's made final in the way it was issued yesterday in a tentative form. Just to let people know, this is a state judge who may, perhaps other state judges do it in California too, but it's a procedure that's a little different than I've run into before. Whenever he has a hearing coming up, he issues a tentative ruling, written ruling, that all the parties and the press have access to, and then he has oral arguments in which he essentially invites the parties, you see where I'm headed. If you don't like it, you better make your view known now or forever hold your peace. I understand there were something like 2 hours of oral arguments yesterday afternoon. The judge's initial decision said that he disagreed with the counties. He agreed with Normal and with the state of California. It's sort of interesting, by the way, when these three counties led by San Diego County brought this suit, they sued the state of California and San Diego Normal, which seemed a little strange. I couldn't quite figure out why we were singled out to be charged, but it turns out that one of the activists in San Diego who worked with San Diego Normal had been quoted in the press as saying that if the county officials didn't begin to implement the medical marijuana law more effectively and more honestly, they were going to bring suit. So apparently when San Diego County supervisors decided to bring this silly suit, they decided they would sue Normal as well as the state of California. So, at any event, we are proud to be part of the suit. It seemed a little frivolous because the issue of whether the federal law overrides and is supreme to the state medical marijuana laws has essentially been before the Supreme Court 2 times in the last 5 or 6 years, and in each case, the court has gone out of its way to indicate that both laws are valid, that the federal law remains valid, even though many of us think their justification of interstate commerce is a little far-fetched. But nonetheless, the Supreme Court has said no, they're going to continue to let them legislate in this area. But they went out of their way to also say the state law is also valid. They operate independently of one another. So it was a little hard legally to understand why the county would want to waste taxpayers' money bringing a suit in which their allegation was that the Federal Controlled Substances Act superseded and overrode the various state medical marijuana laws. The tentative decision of the judge was that they're wrong, and that the position of Normal in the state of California is in fact correct, that the state medical marijuana laws remain in effect. Now, again, that was his tentative ruling. The hope is that by maybe as early as later today, more likely perhaps Monday or so, he will come out with his final decision. And then, of course, we'll have to wait and see whether the county commissioners decide to waste even more taxpayer money to appeal that to the Court of Appeals.
The San Diego government really played an insidious game here. With one hand, they filed this lawsuit. With the other hand, they ushered in federal authorities to aggressively raid and close medical marijuana dispensaries. They're wielding a tremendous amount of power by sitting on the fence between state and federal law. So, Keith, how can citizens in California and other states who've authorized medical marijuana stop their local officials from laying out a red carpet for federal authorities to flout their state law?
Well, I suspect that the county officials who led this charge, I think there were two or three of them that were really at the front of it, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but they may pay a price at the ballot box the next time around. The vast majority of Californians support the medical use of marijuana where a doctor recommends its use. So these commissioners were way out of step with the public in California. In addition, think about this. There's a certain natural tension between the 50 states and the federal government. That's the way our founding fathers established our system of government. The states are considered laboratories of a sort, and they experiment with various legislation, and during the course of that, you reach a national consensus, and then sometimes Congress acts. I don't think I've ever heard of a situation, and certainly it's been a long time anyway, where a state went into court, an agency of the state government went into court to argue that state law should be overridden by federal law. That's an argument you might expect the feds to make. And by the way, they have never made that argument in court, which is interesting. I mean, the drug czar may hit at that when he's doing his propaganda, but they have never gone into court and made that argument. Yet here you have the county of San Diego making that argument. It was truly an example of the last dying gasp of an older generation who just don't like marijuana. And so they were doing their best to reinstitute a kind of a reefer madness approach to it in San Diego. That is not going to be allowed by the courts.
Keith, can future medical marijuana initiatives and legislation be created that makes more protection for states' laws and keeps the federal government out when it comes to marijuana?
Well, I will have to say this. For the moment, I don't see a resolution to the fact that the federal government says marijuana is illegal for all purposes and they refuse to recognize the medical use of marijuana, and, of course, the various state laws that recognize that marijuana is terribly helpful to tens of thousands of seriously ill patients. I think the only resolution of that is when we finally get a majority of Congress to amend federal law to simply say we're not requiring states to do anything, but we are saying that we're going to reschedule marijuana so that states that want to legalize it can legalize it. They could just sell it through pharmacies at that point, just like you get your other drugs, your other pharmaceuticals. Right now, because of the federal law, the states that wish to legalize for medical purposes could not distribute it through pharmacies, because then it would be a direct conflict with federal law, and that federal law would supersede, the supremacy clause would kick in. But I will say this, one of the reasons why this San Diego case was so important was because if the San Diego County would have succeeded in this case, it would have not just overridden the California medical marijuana law, but all of the other medical marijuana laws across the country. All 11 of them would have been voided if San Diego County would have won the relief they were seeking. Now, the other side of that's also true. Assuming that we do, in fact, hold on to this victory, I think it's fairly certain that if any other state government would attempt a similar maneuver in the courts, they're going to reach the same conclusion. It simply isn't an avenue that's available to them. If they think their ideas are right about medical marijuana, they better convince the majority of the public in their jurisdiction. Otherwise, some of these folks are going to be replaced at the ballot box.
So this comes down to the most basic rule of democratic politics. Officials either follow the will of the voters or they're out.
That's right. And by the way, when you ask what people can do in these other states, do the kind of thing you would do if there was any other local community issue that bothered you. Write letters to the editor, attend city council meetings, buttonhole your state representative and senator when they come home. And you have a chance to meet with them. And of course, contact your members of Congress. I assure you that with the change that seems to be afoot in this country, with all the new members of Congress, there's going to be a much more serious look taken at legalizing the medical use of marijuana on the federal level with this new Congress. And so, you know, what I guess I'm saying is, yes, it's kind of a mess out there, but I think we're gradually making progress. And with these new, more progressive Democrats in control of the Congress, I think there will be a more serious effort made now to finally amend federal law. The Barney Frank Ron Paul bill in particular, the States' Rights to Medical Marijuana Act, is what we need to pass.
Keith, this has been another wonderful conversation today. It's always a great privilege to have you here on the program.
It's always my pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Keith Strupp is the founder of Normal and remains legal counsel to the foundation. He joins us here frequently on the Audio Stash and is always open to your questions and comments. You can contact him via Normal's toll-free number. That's 888-67-NORMAL. Again, that's 888-67-NORML. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. You visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.